Yay. All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 291 for Thursday, January the 11th, the current year, whatever the current year is when you're listening to this. Not when we recorded it, because, fuck, I don't know when you're listening to this. Almost nobody listens to it live. Nobody's been responding to me in the IRC, even though I see Psychro, Cyberlord, Iron Angel, Low Tech, Madman, and a fake RU486, so... Anyways, this is the
just
show.
Call me Steve.
Just call him Steve. Yeah. You know, last win, Irwin. No, I'm kidding. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and making really bad jokes about dead Australians. I'm Morps, and tonight I have Aryu. Aryu, what are you drinking?
Water. Lots of water. It is fucking hot.
Living dangerously. We have Syntax. Syntax, what are you drinking?
So I have paired a 2006 Malbec with some barbecue Hot Pockets.
You know, when you find a combination that works, you just happen to find a combination that works, even if most people would look at you strange.
Hey, Syntax, what would you say is a good pairing for mac and cheese?
So mac and cheese, well, it depends on the mac and cheese. Like, if it's the box Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah, that one.
The powdered cheese.
Yeah, you know, the one that's more plastic than cheese, yeah.
That one, yeah.
Yeah. So you have to go with a drier white wine. So, I don't know, a Chateau Saint Michel, like a 2008 or something a little drier. You know, a true Riesling, something that's not super sweet.
Dude, we need to put out a coffee book.
I could totally see
wine pairings,
the Bachelor's wine pairings, where it's somebody
wine
who obviously spends all of their money on the booze and like has no money for food. You know, when you've spent $100 on that bottle of wine, here's the ramen pack it goes with.
Well, see, and that's how I got this wine. So it was someone brought it to a party that I had on Christmas, and they're like, "That's a really good wine." I looked it up, and I'm like, "Holy shit, that's $100 bottle of wine." I'm like, "I'm going to drink it with something ridiculous."
Yep,
fantastic.
That's great. So, and I am actually drinking. I have no idea how much, but I've got an amount because I wasn't measuring it when I poured it in the glass. I just filled the glass, so I guess you would say I have a highball of Red Stag. So.
So a pint of Red Stag.
No, it wasn't quite that full. And there was an ice cube in there.
So 3/4 of a pint.
Yeah, you know, taking it easy tonight.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Yeah, we missed Madman.
Did I miss Madman?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a White Russian with homemade Kahlua.
Homemade.
Oh, just tried the homemade Kahlua, but then I'm like, "What? Who drinks straight Kahlua? I have to do something with this."
Okay. How do you make homemade Kahlua?
Yeah,
in a bathtub.
It may have been made in a bathtub. I hope not, but I have no idea. Chick was handing it out at work. She's like, "You want to try some homemade Kahlua?" And I'm like, "Yes." Made it a point to say you can't do drink at work. I was like, "Why not? I've got homemade Kahlua now."
Well, I've been threatening to fill up my incident response plan at work for months now, so I mean, you know, fuck it. There's not gonna be a lot of people who get that joke. I ordered one of the 64-ounce novelty flasks off Amazon.
That's
and then
nice.
Wrote in the side on the side with it was a marker, it was a poster marker, it wasn't a Sharpie because Sharpie wasn't working. It was like a paint pen, incident
yes.
response plan.
Nice.
And that is amazing.
And the CIO saw it and said, "I agree." It was great.
So. I actually fabricated it's a flask holder for my drone. I wonder if my drone will lift that big one.
I don't know. It probably depends on what you put in it. I was told not to put in anything in that one because they'll get upset with me for having alcohol at work and not sharing. So
whiskey. Well, you have 64 ounces. I mean, you should probably share because if not, that's
that's just a weekend, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was like, wait. I mean, even for me, that's a weekend. Yeah, okay. Carry on.
Good to know I'm not the only one who gets the shakes around midday.
Well, no, if you just continue drinking, you don't get the shakes.
Syntax and I both work IT, and worse, we work IT security, so...
it's actually in my company's...
to make it through the day, I mean...
Yeah, it's in my company's...
best interest.
Well, yeah, but we have it in our employee handbook that we are allowed 2 drinks on the clock.
Wow.
It's mainly for lunch, like if you go to lunch with a client, but I abuse the hell out of that rule.
Well, they breath test you when you come back in? How are they going to know?
I work from home, so...
Oh, you're sitting there with a straw and a bucket.
Well, yeah,
he's recorded a little loop of himself straight, and he plays back into the webcam whenever he gets on. when he has to get on the jabber calls or do you guys do the Skype thing?
Yeah, we have Skype for business.
Yeah, mostly Microsoft Shop. That's no surprise.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? Skype for Business is going to have end-to-end.
Yeah, they're partnering with Signal.
Signal?
I haven't looked at Signal in a while, but wasn't that one of the ones they found a shit ton of backdoors in?
No, Signal was a good one.
Oh, Signal was good.
Signal's the one. Yeah, Signal's the one I use, which now makes me go, oh.
What was the one I put on my phone? I
have to find a new messaging app.
What was the one I was testing? I was playing with one of them. Oh, I was playing with Confide.
Yeah, Signal protocol is used by WhatsApp. Thank you, Psychros.
So
no, it's not an ideal implementation.
Well, you know the Skype one's going to be backdoored all to hell because that was the whole reason Microsoft changed the architecture of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm wondering if that's going to make Signal worse. Hope not.
So, speaking of social networks that are totally trustworthy, I've got this article here from the Inquisitor, but I think this story made it a couple of different places. So, this is the headline here is Twitter Security Engineer. We have full access to every single person's account. What we can do on our side is actually very terrifying. We have full access to every person's account, every direct message, every deleted direct message, and deleted tweets. Another scandal is exploding in Silicon Valley. An undercover video that went viral shows senior network security engineer at Twitter, Clay Hayes, sharing insider information about how the social network operates. More precisely, Mr. Hayes shared information about how efficient and far-reaching Twitter's mechanisms are when it comes to tracking the platform's users. When asked about why Twitter keeps user data, Clay Hayes responded, "If we ever get subpoenaed, it's mostly for law enforcement, and it helps us detect a pattern of history. It's also very dangerous and very, very, very creepy, Big Brotherish." James O'Keefe, journalist. Oh, go ahead.
Nothing. No, it was creepy.
All of the hackers use Twitter.
Oh, everybody uses Twitter.
Everybody uses Twitter.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Back the fuck up. Not everyone.
Almost everyone.
I don't. I think I have a Twitter account that we set up for the station at one point, but
yeah,
I haven't used that thing in a long time.
I think I wrote the first 4 chapters of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and that was about it.
So, James O'Keefe, journalist and president of Project Veritas. A lot of people don't like him because he was going after traditional...
Everyone.
Well, he was going after everyone.
Everybody.
He was getting a lot of people, and they say it's all politically charged. A nonprofit organization whose goal, according to its official website, is investigating, exposing corruption, dishonesty, and self-dealing fraud, waste, and other misconduct, shared the video on Twitter. The snippet has already been shared thousands of times, and the full video is available on the organization's website. What is perhaps more concerning is the fact that this can be seen as a Twitter employee's admission that the company tracks user behavior based on IP address. This means they could theoretically use this knowledge to monitor user behavior off the platform. Twitter responded to the controversy after the video went viral. The company spokesperson told the International Business Times, the individual depicted in the video was speaking in a personal capacity and does not represent or speak for Twitter.
That's nice. He still knows what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like a member of the Joint Chiefs coming out and saying, yeah, we just nuked Saipan and dropped some nerve gas in Germany. It was completely accident, both of them. We just didn't stow it correctly on the cargo plane. And then the president coming out saying, he did not speak for my administration. Shit still happened, whether the dude got the okay from the up-and-ups or not.
According to his official LinkedIn profile, Clay Hayes graduated from the University of Finlay with a Bachelor of Science degree and then went on to work as a sysadmin, system engineer, and senior network engineer for various companies before landing a job at Twitter in 2016.
Well, how lazy is that journalist?
Yep.
Like, just citing, what was that?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. That's it. Just cited LinkedIn.
Yes, he did.
Really? He didn't do any more checking apart from LinkedIn. Fucking great reporting there, buddy.
On December 30th, 2017, The Intercept investigative journalist and Pulitzer Prize winner Glenn Greenwald published an entitled report to Facebook says it's deleting accounts at the discretion of U.S. and Israeli governments. Greenwald wrote about the meeting, blah, 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 blah. So the rest of this is just talking about how all the social networks are compromised in their ideological echo chambers and so on and so forth. But, yeah, so short version here, a Twitter employee has fully admitted that they can game that system and they monitor everything everyone does on it.
Awesome.
I mean, are we, is anyone actually surprised about this?
Nope.
Nope. But I'm waiting for them to start editing Trump's tweets.
How do you know they haven't already?
That's a good point. Cause you know, somebody who works at Twitter is going to be like,
well, didn't they block his account twice already? And they blamed it on a rogue fucking employee.
That makes me giggle each
time. Yeah, they did. I'm just waiting for them to start, you know, posting things for him, saying, like, I'm watching Ape TV tonight. I mean, or whatever it was.
God, I wish that was real. I really wish he watched 16 hours a day of Ape Channel.
Yeah. I wish you could call Comcast and get it.
I tried.
Psychos is asking. No, I'm not all that interested in the Google lawsuit. I mean, they have more money than anybody else. He's not going to win.
Look, Psychos, what'll probably happen is he'll commit suicide a couple of days before the court date with two bullets to the back of the head.
Yeah, because he's going to trip and fall down a open elevator shaft onto some bullets.
Yeah.
God,
this is not
forever.
Going to court.
That's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, they might settle to try to make him go away, but since he's trying, he's coming at it from a political bend. I don't think they'll have to offer him an absurd amount of money to do it. But I don't know. There also hasn't been anything there except just all the sensationalist news. So I just wasn't. I don't know. I just didn't see it as all that interesting. Maybe I'm.
But it is. It's nothing really new. We already knew about all the internal memos. There's no new fire. It's.
I mean, everybody knows. People launch lawsuits like this all the time, and they get dismissed. I mean, I think Apple's had over 100 lawsuits launched against it for slowing down old iPhones. I mean, most of those will go away. They'll either settle them or they'll just disappear. Or, you know, you can look at all the sexual allegation lawsuits that come out against politicians during election years that just disappear right after the election's over and you never hear about them ever again. So, you know.
Or they're paid for.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just. Yeah, we. All corporate cultures follow certain politics. You know, if you happen to work in a more conservative culture and you're talking about how terrible Donald Trump is, you might have a harder time getting promoted if you work at a large company with a liberal bend and you're out there talking about men's rights. Well, actually, he wasn't even doing that. What his memo was like, scientific differences and things like that. But
it was how to attract more women to Google. And he actually went at it from an engineer's perspective and listed a game plan that would actually attract women.
But because it wasn't politically correct, they lost their shit. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't saying the reason we need more women is because there's a bunch of sexist guys in management not hiring women. Like, the reason we need more women, or we don't have as many women as you think we need, is women like these things. We're doing these things. We need to meld the culture or whatever and do these other things, whatever. He was scientific. He cited sources, and then he listed a game plan. The dude was amazing.
Yeah, so it's all politics. It's not. There's nothing real there. You know what I mean? Like,
is the lawsuit going forward? Because last I heard, he was just writing it off and leaving.
No, he filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, okay. Him and his lawyer have been going around doing publicity too. They were on Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, a few other shows yesterday. They're promoting it.
I mean, I guess the real reason I'm not terribly interested in covering it on Decking is the only tech angle there is that the company is Google. If the same thing had happened at, I don't know, Chase Bank or Walmart corporate office, I mean, you know, nobody in the tech industry would really give a shit. So.
Yeah. But it also indicates the way Google may be editing its search results and YouTube lists.
Well, actually proven. There are people who have proven that they're doing that. So, but this is why most people are switching off to like DuckDuckGo or StartPage or, you know, I mean.
What's Bing like? Is Bing any good?
It's amazing.
Is it really, or are you just trolling the shit out of me?
I'm trolling the shit out of you.
see what the internet does? Just leaves you not believing shit.
Wasn't that what your parents told you when you were growing up about the internet? Not to believe everything you read on it?
There was no fucking internet when I was growing up.
Oh, right.
BBS's. This shit didn't really start until like my late 20s, really? I grew up without mobile phones. Ooh,
I grew up
scary.
Using BBS's and fucking AOL.
Yeah. You know, buying a $10 fucking disc so you can get online because your parents won't fucking pay for internet.
Oh, dude, you know, we had a collection of the AOL code so that I could have a couple of different accounts that nobody knew about. You know, you get 3 minutes.
They make great coasters.
I first learned how to do Mac spoofing because I got all of those like free AOL discs and I wanted to stay online.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even hard. It was a fucking Wind modem. You just went and changed it in the driver. Although I will say getting a fucking Wind modem to work in the first place, now that was a feat.
Yeah, that was always fun.
But in your professional opinion, which is the better one after Google?
DuckDuckGo.
Probably DuckDuckGo, and then StartPage, and Yahoo ends up in there somewhere, but they do the same shit Google does, so I don't know that you can
like it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah, and right. So the problem with Bing is, and everyone gives it hell,
the results are crap.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but their results are just shit. And it's funny, because they use the exact same algorithm for the search function in Windows 10, which works fucking amazing. But, yeah, when it's scaled up to be across the internet, it's dumb.
Okay.
So, next article up is one RU sent me yesterday, and it's just kind of funny. It's an older article, but it's still comical. This is from the BBC. Taiwanese police give cybersecurity quiz winners infected devices. police have apologized after giving infected memory six. I didn't finish up a final thought. Psychros had thrown a link in the IRC earlier in the week to a subreddit for D-Google. It's mostly videos and write-ups of how to get away from Google and why Google's bad, but there are some links in the sidebar that are worth checking out. So,
okay.
Anyways, Back to the BBC story here. Taiwan's National Police Agency said 54 of the flash drives it gave out at an event highlighting a government cybercrime crackdown contained malware. So the virus, which can steal personal data and has been linked to for fraud, was added inadvertently.
Yes, inadvertently. You can't see my fucking air quotes.
Oh, fuck.
And I did put a physical button pad back on the soundboard, so if I'm playing more sound effects, they're not new, they're old. I'm just playing with them more. So you guys call me out when I start doing it too much, because I'm sure I will.
You can never do it too much.
Oh, fuck.
Anyways.
There we go.
It says, okay, where was I? The Criminal Investigation Bureau apologized for the error and blamed the mishap on a third-party contractor. The vendor did it! It's 20 of the drives have been recovered. They gave 54 gave out were contained malware, and they've got 20 of them back. Around 250 flash drives were given out at the expo, which was hosted by Taiwan's presidential office from the 11th through the 15th of December, and aimed to highlight the government's determination to crack down on cybercrime. All of the drives were manufactured in China, but the CIB ruled out state-sponsored espionage, saying instead the bug had originated from a Taiwan-based supplier. It said a single employee at a firm had transferred data onto 54 of the drives to test their storage capacity, infecting them in the process. Oh, good Lord, how am I going to say this? The malware, identified as the EXE, or XTBSEDUA program, was designed to collect personal data and transmit it to a Polish IP address, which then bounces it to unidentified servers. The CIB said it had been used by a cyber fraud ring uncovered by Interpol in 2015. Only older 32-bit computers were vulnerable to the bug, and common antivirus software can detect and quarantine it, he said. The server involved in the latest infections has been shut down. In May, IBM admitted it may have inadvertently shipped malware-infected flash drives to some customers. IBM did it. I mean, God. The computer maker said drives containing its storage system had been infected with a Trojan and urged customers to destroy them. If anybody has never put a flash drive in a microwave before, it's either...
It's really kind of cool.
It depends on the flash drive. It's either amazing or a real letdown. Not always a spark fest like an old CDR used to be. It used to be my favorite.
Oh, I love making wall art with those.
So... At the time, it declined to comment on how malware ended up on the flash drives. The Trojan part of the Reconic family bombards users with pot of pups and slows down the computers, and is known to target users in Russia and India.
So this is not new. A few years ago, MRI machines from one of the two companies that make MRI machines, their names rhymes with semen. we're shipping MRI machines where the controlling computer had Configure on it from their factory.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you know, the photo frames doing that, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
This was a year ago. Things were being shipped with Configure.
I'm not surprised. What, Configure a year ago? What good's it going to do?
Yeah. Nothing. But it's still out there, and you want to watch a hospital lose its fucking mind.
Winning.
When their IDS sees Configure on the inside of their network.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I mean, I would too. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Do you know what the company's fix was?
For Configure?
Enable and Configure
nothing.
On the inside of their network.
Let the malware, any malware, take care of it.
Well, no.
File the event
and
call it a day.
if they removed it, because... So it turns out that they had programmed their controlling software after the... Yeah, because it was already in there, so it was doing things. And they found if you removed it, their shit stopped working.
Were they still... Wait, you said a hospital. Were they still running XP?
Oh, yeah. All of your MRI machines are running XP.
Oh, for God's sake.
They just are solid, man.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. They have a hard time updating because manufacturers say that they can't patch or you can't put new OS, but...
Yeah. So they were like, yeah, if we remove it, it stops working. And this is a multi-million dollar piece of machinery.
So they left it infected.
Well, yeah, so the company that shipped it said, okay, here, we're going to give you some money back on this. Just segregate it.
Yeah. But it's Configure. So when your nurses go up and say, oh, I'm sorry, you got to use a flash drive to get the MRIs off the machine, they infect that fucking flash drive. And since they're all still using XP because it's a hospital and hospitals don't understand that new operating systems have been out for almost 10 years. Has it been 10 years since Windows 7 came out? Something like that.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's every time I think about that, I just sit there and I slowly shake my head. And I'm like, you know what? This is the ultimate version of that. No, it's fine. Just ship it. Like,
yeah, it really
fine.
Is.
It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, for fuck's sake.
And seriously, the laziest workaround for it. No, just segregate it. It's fine.
Man, you work at a place. A financials type place. Places that tend to not update their back end and their servers off of AS400s for decades at a time. You also have any XP boxes kicking around?
No. Actually, my center and everyone, all the departments I've actually seen and been in, they've been rolling out upgrades. They were doing them in batches last year.
Like server 2008?
Now, I do believe we may still actually have some old mainframes, or at least things emulating them.
Yeah,
because we never wanted to move
IBM
them.
Power machines pretending to be AS400s.
Yeah, because we never wanted to update the that software because the cost of rolling the files was too much.
So, well, that's okay. So the AS400 thing, which I mean, I love joking about it, but a lot of companies back when, you know, in the 70s when these things were stupid expensive spent millions of dollars having the software developed. And because, you know, the idea of standard software packages was not a thing, every company had their own software written, which means it's all their own format, their own databases. So there's no standard way to get it out of there. So the only way to port it forward into a modern format is to hire programmers to come in, sort through what's there. And, you know, you need to hire people who understand Delphi and Fortran, which is a fairly rarefied skill these days. And
Delphi, God.
AS400, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah. You know, translate that in. So you need somebody who knows Delphi and, I don't know, what's a modern business language? Java? I mean.
And a lot of it's also written in COBOL.
COBOL, yes, I forgot about COBOL.
COBOL was actually the most popular for financial institutions.
Oh, yeah. COBOL, Fortran, Delphi, and then someone who understands Python and...
Yeah, because if you can wrap your head around both of those languages at the same time, you kind of are a special snowflake, and I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And because the existing shit's already in this hodgepodge of whatever, all the new stuff's been sitting in there, so even though some of these accounts may be maturing or ceasing to exist, they're using that same old hodgepodge crap because never moved forward into two databases. On that last one, I could be wrong. I keep hearing rumors.
Well, I've seen so many systems where instead of even trying to change out the back end, they write a new web front end. And the web front end communicates to systems that are running screen emulators, screen scrapers, and the TN3680 or whatever the client... that's the number's wrong. Whatever the fucking IBM terminal... number is, and you know, they're doing so you go in the web interface and punch in what you want, and then the server software will actually translate that into the old screen commands and terminal commands to pull back that data, screen scrape it out of a terminal session, and then return it to the web page so it looks like it's a modern web app when really they've just written a really fancy front end controlling a kind of stupid robot. And there are a lot of companies that have done that. Sard, if you're listening, we've been going for about half an hour. Have Morps move me if he doesn't mind. What the hell?
stupid.
User was moved to your channel.
Sard, you're fucking half an hour late. What the hell are you drinking?
Wine.
Ooh, what kind of wine?
Oh, okay. What kind of toaster pastry have you paired it with?
That actually sounds really good. If I had toaster pastries, I would totally make one right now.
So I have paired my 2006 Malbec, which was a gift for Christmas. It's like a $100 bottle of wine with some barbecue. What are those stupid things?
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what I need on the soundboard. I need the Hot Pockets jingle.
Yeah, you need to make it a thing for this year. Someone has to be pairing a wine with a toaster pastry.
It'll be me. I don't care.
Yeah.
You get some nice Apothic Red and a toaster strudel.
Yeah. Sounds like a Saturday
night to
me.
I've got a cherry Pop-Tart somewhere, but I don't have any wine.
You know, I bet toaster strudels would go really good with...
Oh, you can see it now. You know,
like a
really good vintage.
Wine, yeah.
Really good vintage at Penfolds Grange. And Sard will be pairing it with cheese and canned cheese and crackers.
Dude, that sounds perfect. Sounds good to me. I'll eat it.
A can of easy cheese and some Triscuits.
And a Penfolds Grange.
Yeah. I've also found that Chef Boyardee... double stuff ravioli is really good with a vintage Merlot.
But it's got to be cold straight out of the can, right?
Goddamn right.
And eaten with a spork.
No, you just kind of tilt the can back and let it fall into your face.
Well, you know, if you're really hurting for silverware... You can take the lid of the can and kind of fold it a little bit and use it like a spoon.
Oh yeah, yeah, that worked too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. After you've bifurcated your tongue now.
Honestly, I'm just a little surprised Syntax is here, dude. Like, I haven't talked to you since you were doing Between the Sheets.
Yeah,
I've been
good. Yeah, awesome. I had to take there was a break. I was working the first time I came back on, I don't know, there was talk of jail. I have no idea what anyone.
Oh, Jesus. So,
yeah, we were joking about swatting him, but then that guy died, so it's like So anyways, let's go on to the next story here. And I'm not certain if this is a be afraid of what they're going to do or point and laugh at the government. So we'll just read it and see. Paste, enter. So there's IRC. It's got it. The TeamSpeak has it. Here we go. This is from NBCNews.net. Washington. The FBI has been unable, or the FBI was unable last year to get access to the contents of more than half of the electronic devices seized for evidence, a problem that is getting worse, FBI Director Christopher Wray said on Tuesday. Despite having court orders allowing agents to examine the contents of the devices, the FBI was unable to open 7,775 devices in fiscal 2017, which ended in September. Each one was tied to a specific subject, a specific defendant, a specific victim, and a specific threat, Ray said at a cybersecurity conference in Fordham University in New York. A senior FBI official said the share of devices that could not be opened is the highest yet. It's a problem that keeps getting worse, he said. Ray said investigating and prosecuting nearly every type of crime now depends on obtaining electronic devices or electronic evidence. We're increasingly unable to access that evidence, despite lawful authority to do so, he said. Ray's comments to the cybersecurity conference expanded on the going dark theme first sounded by his predecessor, James Comey, who launched a court fight with Apple to get the contents of a cell phone left behind by one of the San Bernardino terrorists. The FBI eventually opened the device using a technique developed by a private party. Ray said that more criminals are also using encrypted apps, which allow communications that cannot be monitored or obtained by the FBI, even with a court order. The FBI is not looking for a back door that would allow agents to obtain the contents of the messages secretly, he said. Instead, law enforcement wants the app developers to obtain the information when presented with a court order, which means the app developers have a back door. That's not how encryption works, dude. While some technology experts maintain that developing a way into those communications is impossible, assuming the math on the crypto is good, Ray said he is confident American innovation can find the solution. He noted that...
Oh, fuck off. There's no way.
Sir, every time I jump off this mountain, I fall. Is there a way to make it where I can fly to the moon? I'm certain American ingenuity can do it.
As he noted that in other countries, the tech industry is responding to demands for access to data, even though these countries lack the due process guarantees of American courts. I cannot believe this is such a paradox that something is nobody's or such a paradox is something that anybody really thinks is the right way to go, he said. Ray said that learning about the complexity of the cyber issue has been an eye-opening since he first focused on it 12 years ago as a Justice Department official. The apparent allusion to...
cyber issue.
Yeah. President Donald Trump's Twitter attacks on the FBI, Ray said back then social media didn't even really exist. Tweeting was something that the birds did, and it's a little more on my radar at the moment. So...
what? How did they tie Trump to this?
I don't know. They've got to insult. It's NBC. But, they have to insult Trump.
But look, I can solve the FBI's problem in one statement. Hire more women in tech. There you go. Done. Solve problem.
Winning.
Yep.
Jumping off a cliff and making it to the moon is an easier problem than a secret backdoor in crypto, in good crypto.
You know what's funny, Psychros? Sard posted a picture of... I used to have one of those sun cabinets in my garage.
Really?
Those
that's
things
sweet.
Are fucking heavy.
That's oh, why yeah. I'm wondering how the hell did that happen?
It fell over.
The floor well, yeah, gave out. But... look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a raised floor that...
So when I decided to get rid of that cabinet, nobody wanted it around me. So I took it in and sold it for scrap metal, and I made $100.
Wow.
Those things
that's
are fucking
sweet.
Heavy.
Yeah, yeah, well, that looks like one of the Sun mainframe.
It was.
Cabinets, yeah.
Actually, mine had splits. You could take the top and the bottom panels off separately on the sides. But yeah, yeah. It was,
yeah.
I mean, it, other than that, it was identical.
That one closest to us looks like power. So that one's real heavy.
Oh, yeah, if that's got all the UPSs in it, but...
I found a way around the FBI's problem.
All right, go ahead.
Subpoena the phone. If the dude who had the phone doesn't cooperate with the subpoena, he gets locked up for contempt of court until he does. Wow.
Isn't that what they've been doing?
I just solved the problem.
Yeah. I remember hearing some news article where some dude was held in contempt of court for like a year or more because he wouldn't unlock his phone.
Yeah, some jurisdictions are.
Yeah, we didn't know which way to go with that because he was being charged with child pedophilia.
Yeah. He was a kiddie diddler.
Yeah, it was hard to go.
It was pretty much set in stone, but he wouldn't unlock his phone.
Now, if he spends life in jail for contempt of court or life in jail for blowing up a building, does it really matter why he's in jail at that point?
I think they're worried about the people like San Bernardino, where they're like, ah, we're going to go kill everyone. Oh, look, we died.
Well, they're fucked there. Yeah. Gotta crack it. Hire somebody.
Most modern cell phones unlock with a fingerprint. So even if the dude's dead, I mean, you can go to the coroner and say, give me his index finger. So,
well, and there's people that are 3D printing.
literally his index finger.
Yeah, yeah. You see, he's just standing there with pinking shears going, yep, little finger, please.
Well, they can 3D print a fingerprint that'll work now.
Well, off of your picture that was taken.
So, okay, and Psychros has a point that, yeah, most phones, you know, if you don't unlock the phone within a day, the fingerprint doesn't work and you still have to use the passcode. That's fine because what cops are doing now when they pull people over, they're grabbing your hand and touching it to the fingerprint sensor. So this is
So if
you're concerned about this, don't use your index finger. Use a different finger.
Your nipple will work.
Were we talking about using our dicks?
Well,
I remember a distinct conversation about using your dick
to
unlock your phone.
That works, but it does make unlocking your phone in the office a bit awkward.
Hold up, cops are grabbing
people's hands. Death scare the secretary while you're doing it.
Yeah.
But personally, I've actually found I have a slight problem with fingerprint readers in that I have skin damage on my index fingers from Actually, I have no
trying to get rid of your fingerprints again with a power sander.
Dremel, but yeah. And so I have to use, actually, I have to use my ring fingers for everything.
All right, we know how to unlock Morps' phone now.
Yeah, well, and like I've told people for a really long time, it's like, don't use the face or a fingerprint, because a cop can take something you have and use it. They can't take something you know.
So most phones, if you just hold the power button down, will bring it up so you can shut them down. So if you're being pulled over and you know that we shouldn't be giving criminals tips. So if you're a revolutionary fighter and you're being pulled over by the police in, I don't know, Venezuela,
what you need to do is hold your phone up. No, hold your phone up to the cop and yell, "I'm a sovereign citizen. You can't do shit, faggot." And that'll work perfectly every time. Beat the police in one
I'll
go.
Take things that'll end well for $1,000, oh. Bob.
And just videotape this.
Yeah, video, and just keep yelling at the top of your voice, am I being detained? Just start screaming it. That always works.
Start quoting the Constitution to them. That should work pretty well.
Exactly, especially if you fuck it up.
So,
can't. You're not allowed to look at YouTube videos anymore, are you?
Oh, you don't want to know what I was doing last night, Madman. I was going through a VHS dump. Oh, this is uploaded complete VHS tapes. They're fun. Oh, yeah, pro tip, people. Destroy your VHS tapes before chucking them. Because people will upload your videotapes.
Hey, troll, are you in the IRC? Do you happen to have that picture from a different angle? No? Okay.
How many fucking RUs are in the IRC now?
I think everybody's changed their name to RU in there.
Cool. And see, Your Honor, on this date, on the 12th of the 1st, 2018, at 1:50 in the afternoon, they admitted it. They're impersonating me. I did not do that.
Oh, but that's an iPhone being detained. Unlocked by a nipple.
Yep.
And Suave had looks one like it's in a squinty-eyed country.
Suave used to have one that he liked to post of somebody using their tit to scroll through like their Facebook feed or something.
Oh, they're using their nipple to operate a nipple.
So when I'm riding my motorbike, I refuse to get those stupid gloves that work on a touchscreen because they're dumb. But every once in a while, like, I've used my nose or I've licked my screen, which is always a bad idea, to, like, scroll or answer calls.
So I went for a simpler solution. I bought a smartphone that has a stylus. It works perfectly fine when the gloves are on.
Oh, yeah. Well, and okay, so thin gloves do work good, but if I'm riding a motorbike, I don't want thin gloves, because then if I fall off the motorbike, thin gloves don't do anything, and then I'm in Morps' situation where I have no fingerprints anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or hands. On the back it's actually of my a pain knuckles in the ass trying I'm to really get, worried about.
It's actually a real pain in the ass trying to get the data center into your tongue. My index fingers aren't going to work. Oh, no, you got to use your index finger. It's not going to work. You know, 20 minutes of trying to read the fingerprints later. So why don't we try your other fingers? Yeah. So,
use your nipple. Be like, it only works on my nipples.
I don't have fingerprints, sir. I use my elbows or my dick, depending on the social situation. Dead stairs start dropping the pants.
Okay, I need more wine. Read the next story. I'll catch up.
All right, maybe. This is actually from Brave.com. Brave and DuckDuckGo are thrilled to announce a partnership today that radically improves internet privacy. One of the reasons I wanted to cover the story is when Brave first came out, I questioned how well it was going to work, but they're actually making agreements with DuckDuckGo, so that's... And I've read a lot since then, and I think this browser is actually going to be okay as far as privacy. Standard browsing and search compromise user data. To combat this, we've integrated DuckDuckGo search with Brave browser's private tabs, providing users a simple way to ensure privacy. So in other words, when you're using Brave and you click into private browsing mode, it actually changes what search engine you use, which is just a fantastic idea.
Yeah. Oh,
that is nice. Oh, wait, can you read the story again? I missed it.
Yeah. They're integrating DuckDuckGo search with Brave Browser's private tabs.
Oh, okay, cool.
The first paragraph is all I read there, dude.
No.
So the feature is available today via the Brave Browser desktop release 0.19.116 and will be integrated into Brave Android and iOS apps in the first quarter of 2018. Users that open a new private tab or reserve to as incognito mode in Brave will be presented with an option to select DuckDuckGo as their default search engine. Other search engines track users even though they're outside of even when they're in private mode. DuckDuckGo does not. Many popular sites can host as many as 70 trackers, following users around the web and compiling information about their site visits. Brave by default stops ads and trackers that violate users' privacy. Marketing speak. I liked the idea that DuckDuckGo came up, or not DuckDuckGo, but that Brave is actually using a different search engine in private browsing mode. It's just like, that's a good idea.
Yes.
So, I'm probably going to give Brave another chance. I kind of dismissed it when it first came out, and so now I'm probably going to try it.
Am I the only one that has never heard of this thing? It's just another browser or what?
Yeah, it's another browser. I think they were supposedly writing their own rendering engine, though. I know a couple of people at work who use it, and it's fine. So, but it's actually open source.
From what I heard, and so I did the same as you, Morp. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I know this will be great. And then I'm like, yeah, I can't be fucked. I might have to look it again.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to give this thing a shot. We'll report back on the show. But I do, like I said, I just loved that idea. That it's like, oh, you're in a different browsing mode. Use a different search engine. It's like that's. I mean, it's so simple.
Yeah, it's funny because you say it like that. It's like, oh, well, of course you should be. None of us have thought of it beforehand.
Yeah, makes sense. I like the idea. So moving on to the next post. This is actually just a picture. It's on the Cyberpunk subreddit, and this is a Russian vending machine that looks like somebody made in their garage that lets you buy social media likes. They've got Instagram, looks like Facebook, some the Vantakade, which I guess is a Russian social media network. And I'm not certain what the other one is on there. It's hard to tell. The Heart, whatever the Heart one is. But, so you can go to a Russian vending machine in a mall that has a webcam on the top of it, and buy likes for your social media profile.
Wait, is that bottom one like Tinder or something like that?
It
that
might
would be awesome.
It might be. It's hard to tell because it's all in Russian, and unfortunately, I don't know how to read potato vodka. I haven't drank enough vodka to be able to understand that writing. So,
Oh wait a minute, let me try. I'm re-pouring a white Russian. I may be able to translate now.
Actually, I think that might be Reddit karma.
I think that it's like 50 whatever half the fucking dollar is, ruble.
Rupees.
For 100 likes. For 100 people's likes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Nice.
So, it's just like... Come on. I mean, that's like almost dystopian future. Like, here's the vending machine in the mall to link bomb your social media account to get its views up. I mean, it's just like...
It reminds me of Black Mirror, the first season where they had to ride the bike and then they could pay to have a chance to be famous and shit like that.
I have not watched Black Mirror. I've been told I need to watch Black Mirror and Stranger Things, and there was another one I was supposed to watch.
Black Mirror is really good. It's all like, also, don't watch it if you're on the edge of a depressive episode, because you'll end up just shooting yourself by the end of the season.
So I work in information security and own firearms. You're saying I should just never watch that show?
Yeah, probably.
Just make sure you're in a happy place with a lot of alcohol. You can see this shit coming, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's what I've heard. I haven't watched it yet either, but it's very, like, 10 years down the line. Like, that's where it's going to be.
If you're in a bad place, man, it's going to throw you out of a tilt-a-whirl at a million miles an hour, dude, because that's how fucking hard you're going to hit.
So, never watch this show is what I'm hearing.
Oh, no, it's great.
great, man. It's really good. Just being a good frame of mind. Don't have a shit day at work.
Okay. You're not hearing me. I don't know how good the show is, but you're saying
you.
Never be in a shit frame of mind. And I'm saying that means I don't get to watch the show.
Wait until you're on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows like that, have you guys heard of it's a Showtime show called Darknet? Have any of you guys watched that?
No.
Been another one that's been suggested I should check out.
No, I haven't seen it. I'll check it out, though.
I'm going to look that up, though.
Yeah, supposedly it's a bunch of fucked up internet stuff. Like, there's like they interview content filter people, like that people that manually content filter things.
Oh dear God!
Like,
on the verge of suicide.
They they have huge rates of turnaround because people can't just take the fucked up stuff.
Oh my God! It's on Amazon
Prime.
How do I get a job like that?
I don't know.
I reckon I could do it.
Documentary and see.
Oh, dude, people kill themselves. Microsoft had to, like, bring in therapists because they were traumatizing so many people.
Well, you remember we had that article from Microsoft a couple of years back that I picked it up because they were talking about being triggered, and I thought this was totally Tumblr shit, and we were going to make fun of it. And then halfway through the article, we were like, oh, fuck, this is real. I felt bad for, like, you know, a month because I was making fun of that article, and then I realized, oh, shit, this is real.
I'm trying to think what would be so bad that people would say on the internet, apart from, like, the kiddie porn shit. I'm not going to filter through that. Like, that's just...
You get that, and then you get kiddie porn where they're dousing the kids with gasoline instead of
fire. Oh, fuck, no, can't do it. I'm out.
Yeah, see, it's like...
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yeah, like I said, I've been recommended to watch that show, I guess.
It's horrible.
Some fucked up stuff.
Humans are fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking you're just like aggregating people's fucking Twitter and, you know, just seeing like go kill yourself constantly.
Well, it is, but then you have the occasional asshole who's, you know, disemboweled a family in a barn and they've started posting the pictures, you know, live streaming it on Facebook.
That should be allowed. Not there, but, you know, I would put that in a subcategory because there are people who want to see that.
That's
you know
the
I mean?
Problem, are you there?
Wait,
are you part of the problem?
In Omaha because somebody on Twitter wants to watch you disembowel a human being.
Wait, why is it in Omaha? This got really specific all of a sudden.
Well, I don't mean for like you shouldn't be able to do it for profit, but.
Since giggles and charity, you're fine.
If you're gonna do it, you may as well make a buck on it.
No, don't make a buck on it because that just encourages fuckwits, right?
Hey, guys, check out my Patreon where you get to pick the next victim.
Yeah. If I get 30 likes, I'll run the kid over down the street. You know? Fucking live stream.
Let's recreate that scene from Toxic Crusader.
You know,
so if,
hey,
if
I get 300 likes, we're reenacting the crazies.
If you need 30 likes, I got this machine in Russia.
Thank you, Reddo.
No. Okay, but no. Yeah, you shouldn't do it for live streaming for fame, fortune, and fucking cash. But crime scene photos and shit like that, there should be a place on the internet if you need that stuff for research or you want to check it out because you're a squeamish cunt and
join the IRC. Balt, this is not a conversation you need to hear. You actually have family.
But yeah, that should be in a different category because it's like after it's done, no one else is getting hurt by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I really dug myself deep on this one.
I don't know. I don't think you're coming
just
out.
It's bad. It's the one you sent me about the leopards, are you? Let's do that one next.
Yes.
I feel that
see,
flows
this
great.
Is what I mean. You wouldn't see shit like this if there weren't people like me going, well, maybe we can leave that. You know, maybe they could just go in a corner over there. I'm making hand gestures, and I don't know why. This fucking radio.
Because you're used to us being able to see you from the spy camera. It's fine.
Okay.
So this next article is from abcnet.net.au. RU sent me this about 2 minutes before we started the show. Let's see. Last November, a leopard entered a house in the Harana village in North India, which was beaten to death by a mob claiming self-defense. Sandeep Katana... that guy's name is Sandeep Katana. awesome, was in the crowd.
Kick-ass.
Showing the ABC videos and images of the event on his phone, as seen above, he is in no doubt technology helped whip the crowd of predominantly young men into a frenzy. They like to take pictures and post on social media if they see a leopard, said the 28-year-old real estate worker. They have only heard of and read about leopards on TV and in books, so when they see one, they tend to get excited. Yeah, most people, if they see a wild leopard, are going to get a bit excited, usually to get the other way. Because, you know, anybody have a house cat that, like, I don't know, tends to be a little aggressive, maybe bite the ankles or attack you in the middle of the night for no reason?
Yes.
Now, imagine a leopard doing that, because it's the same mentality. They're a cat. Yeah, wildlife campaigners say group messaging apps' ability to quickly spread news of a leopard sighting, coupled with young men's desire to record and share acts of bravado, are driving them to take on the endangered predators. There is a particular section of people, the kind of people who unnecessarily shout and create hype, activists Sunil Harsana from a nearby Mangar village said. They mislead unaware public in order to show their power or might. And in the digital age, Mr. Hassar is empathic about what is spurring the behavior. Killing leopards is illegal under India's wildlife protection laws, but community leader Ram Nawaz said officials had not responded when the animals entered the house with women and children inside. Villagers attacked the leopard to protect their lives, he told ABC. As habitat disappears, blah, 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 blah. So... pretty much in India, I'm going to summarize the rest of the article because they kind of go on about it and how it's horrible because, you know, people are attacking leopards and it's bad. But so in India, instead of planking, they're trying to post, on social media video of them beating up leopards. So, and one, leopards are endangered species. And if you like cats, that's probably not a good thing. But two, leopards kill people. So, you know, it's sort of like the hold my beer equivalent of jumping off of a trailer into above ground swimming pool, except in India they're attacking a leopard with like a club.
Yeah, but they're attacking in group. You know, the odds are you're not going to get hit by the leopard.
You know? True.
So they're flash mobbing and beating to death a leopard. That was pretty interesting.
It's sick, is what it is.
It's a fucking leopard, and it's in a house.
Yeah,
no,
that's true.
It's not. They're fine. No, they said when leopards come in, people defend themselves, but they're like hunting down the leopards in the street.
And
there's a leopard in the south. Once again, there's a fucking leopard in the street.
The problem is, it's like, you're right. There's a leopard in the street, and if you need to defend somebody from a leopard, that's a different situation. But the article reads like they're kind of doing the South Park, by God, they're coming right for us thing. So,
yeah.
It's a leopard. It can defend itself.
True. It can, and it probably is. And somebody's going to get killed, so.
Well, it got against one person, yes, but a flash mob of brown males? No.
So, I don't know. I thought the article was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you don't think about things like planking or some of the parkour tricks in other countries where it's like, what are they doing? They're hunting down the wildlife. So,
I thought like the manly thing was to ride the trains on the roof or some shit. Is this that? Must
that,
be the new
so
way of doing that.
That's so 2015, dude. I mean.
Okay, I'm behind the times in my Delhi is what's cool in Delhi.
That's what I think this is, too, because we did the same thing. We'd hunt down the wildlife, take pictures, post it on social media and stuff, but it was during the 1800s. They're just a couple hundred years behind us, catching back up, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it's a great buffalo and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you guys in Australia hunt down spiders and snakes and shit?
Wallabies, crocodile?
Dude, a guy died yesterday when his dog came into the house with a brown snake in its mouth.
Oh, God!
It had dropped the snake, and fucking snake bit the bloke, and he died in an hour later. Oh, yeah, we don't hunt anything.
Moral of the story is dogs are dicks.
Yeah, well, that one is.
If you had guns, you'd hunt things.
Man's best friend, my ass. I'll bet his wife trained it to do that.
All right, all right. Let's do the last news article here. It's from Ars Technica. Scientists often hope to break ground with their research, but a group of Australian researchers I'll let you comment on the fact that this research is being done in Australia, would likely be happy with breaking wind. The team developed an ingestible electronic capsule to monitor gas levels in the human gut. It's paired with a pocket-sized receiver and a mobile phone app. The pill reports tailwind conditions in real time as it passes from the stomach to the colon. The researchers, led by Karush Kantilar Zadev of the RMIT...
Such an Australian name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the RMIT University and Peter Gibson of the Monash University, reported their invention Monday in Nature Electronics. The authors are optimistic that the capsule's gas readings can help clear the air over the inner workings of the puns are terrible, over our intricate innards and the multitudes of microbes they contain. Such fume data could clarify the conditions of each section of the gut, what the microbes are up to, and which foods may cause problems in the system. Until now, collecting such data has been a challenge. Methods to bottle it involved cumbersome and invasive tubing and inconvenient whole body. I don't know that word.
Probably for the best.
Calimetry? I don't know. I'm assuming that means running tubes through your system. Pooping the electronic pill is a breeze in comparison. And early human trials have already hinted that the pill can provide new information about intestinal wind patterns and gaseous turbulence from different foods. Our pilot trial illustrated the significant potential role for electronic-based gas-sensing capsules in understanding functional aspects of the intestine and its microbial health and in response to dietary changes. The authors are currently setting up a commercial company to further develop and test the capsules. For their pilot study, the researchers beefed up a prototype they had previously tested in pigs. The capsule is 26 millimeters in length and 9.8 millimeters in external diameter. It's kind of like a large vitamin. Its polymer shell surrounds the sensors for temperature, CO2, H2, and O2, as well as a button-sized silver oxide battery and transmission system. One end of the capsule...
Wait. Hold the fuck on.
Yeah.
There's a fucking silver oxide battery in it?
Yep.
Like, the things that fucking kill you.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
You're hoping that polymer capsule really doesn't leak.
You'll be fine.
Fuck it.
You guys are mocking this, but Australia is the leading researcher on fart rape. We will stamp out fart rape by 2020.
One end of the capsule contains a gas permeable membrane that allows for fast diffusion of gut gases. So the trial published Monday. Researchers tested the capsules in 6 healthy people. They don't say anything about it, which ones died from the battery poisoning.
There were 10 people in the study. 6 are still healthy.
For the first, researchers monitored the pill's intestinal tract using ultrasound and linked locations with gas profiles. Overall, it took 20 hours to get from one end to the other, spending 4.5 hours in the stomach, 2.5 in the small intestine, and 13 cruising the colon. And that time, the pill took...
cruising the colon.
The author had too much fun with this article.
So, I've heard this term before, but I think it was at a gay cowboy bar where
they were probably trying to find a better way to locate the gerbils that they lost.
Cruising the colon.
Yeah, no, they were cruising for colon.
Oh,
I think you misheard them, yes.
I did.
In the next human trial, the researchers had one person gulp the pill twice. Oh, he had to do it twice. The first time he ate a high-fiber diet. And for 2 days prior to swallowing the pill, 2 weeks later, he gulped another pill. They didn't make him reuse the same pill.
Did they? They didn't say that it was a different pill.
No, they said another pill. That implies it's a different pill. After eating a low-fiber diet for 2 days. In the high-fiber test, the man passed the pill in about 23 hours, but he was not happy about it. The superdose of fiber caused abdominal pain. And it's 4 hours in the colon. The pill recorded elevated levels of O2, which could mess up anaerobics. Indeed, an analysis of fecal bacteria during the phase showed a shift toward species associated with poor gut health. There were also problems in low-fiber scenarios. The pill took a little more than 3 days to work its way out. It spent 13 hours in the stomach, 5.5 in the small intestine, and a whopping 54 hours in the colon. And in fact, about 36 hours after taking the pill, the man was given a high dose of fiber, tried to get things moving. After the fiber intervention.
Do you see the size of this thing in this picture? Like, that is not a large vitamin. That is...
It's a horse pill, man.
Dare I say,
yeah,
a small
that,
penis.
That does not... Look small at all.
Well, they said the guy wasn't very happy about passing it, so
it was probably sideways, and the battery had ruptured.
Oh god! So, okay, obviously they're doing real research and understanding the human digestive system and foods that can mess with it. And on the other hand, this whole thing is a fart sensor that you swallow.
It's like someone paid a lot. Like, someone paid these guys money.
Yeah, the 12-year-old in me is laughing so hard at this.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the mature adult in me's taking over, and I can really see where the application of this and bowel cancers and stuff could really come in.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know
this
what?
Is completely
that's
legitimate.
Well, that's good, because your text dollars are at work there.
This is completely legitimate and embarrassing medical research.
We have done research that the Americans have paid us bullshit amounts of money for. It's all paid for by the Australian people, and whatever breakthroughs we get, then we sell off, gets refunded back in. It's a pretty good, decent program, but they have stripped a lot of money out of it. But, this could be a game changer. I can see a lot of different applications. Just so I know a few people that have got really bad bowels, man. Like... I don't even smell or anything, but cancerous and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
This could come in handy, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing work for a dude now who doesn't have a bowel anymore.
So,
Because of bacterial infections.
I mean, again, obviously, this is legit medical research, but we're immature internet people and we're laughing at it because they're doing fart jokes. So.
Yeah, sorry. Go.
So I'm looking at the pictures. And they have a picture of the pocket-sized sensor for it. It's in a clear plastic shell, and there's a PCB inside. I see two really, really big problems here. One is there's a fucking micro SD card slot. Two... there's an exposed USB port. Who else thinks, I'm going to plug a Bash Bunny into this and then tell you that you have cancer?
Well, I imagine gets covered up by the pill cover. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's they're obviously grabbing some off-the-shelf components and just putting them in pill form. So.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is the sensor you put in your pocket. Well, like, scroll to the very last picture, I think. Or second to last picture. I don't know. It's a picture. And there's a... Oh, yeah. So it's a little... It looks like it's a 2-inch by 2-inch square with a little omnidirectional antenna on top. There's an SD card slot and a USB port on it and a little battery. But... yeah, I'm looking at this going, oh yeah, I could break that. It's kind of like the pacemakers that were using unencrypted Wi-Fi.
And that's fixed now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. But for how long wasn't it? Something like 500,000 units or something?
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah. Don't fuck with medical stuff. Like, actually have someone pen test that stuff before you actually start using it. Syntax tip of the day.
There you go.
Words to live by.
So
I love that job description. You're going to red team this guy's pacemaker.
I actually met the guy who did that. Who got hired to do the pen testing on pacemakers and insulin pumps both? Because an insulin pump can kill you real fast.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to this. All right, so what I have for today in Digital Dojo is a interesting project written in Python called Pyload.net, and it's a download manager. To read the description here, Pyload was developed to run on NASs, next-generation routers, and headless home servers. Whatever device is able to connect to the internet and supporting the Python programming language, so it's available for all kinds of operating systems and a wide range of hardware. Its friendly user web interface allows full managing and easy remote access from anywhere. All common video sites, one-click hosters, container formats, and well-known web standards are supported to allow you to download your files. Additionally, Pyload has a great variety of plugins to automate common tasks make unattended running possible. So pretty much it's a Python project. It's got a bunch of optional components and some plugins, but it'll spin up a web interface. You feed it URLs for, I don't know, rapid share, just straight downloads, YouTube, whatever, and it'll download it and save it onto your server. So you can spin this up on a NAS, or you can spin this up on a server at home, or just a VM on your machine, whatever. Or if you run a full-time Linux machine, I don't know why you couldn't spin this up on, like a Raspi or something. So if you wanted to build a download server that you could just feed URLs to and let it run, this is a project to use to do that. So I thought it was cool. I'm probably going to be playing with this later. I don't recommend putting it straight up on the internet. If you are going to run this and set up a web interface, put it behind at least an SSH tunnel, if not a full VPN. Just saying that. But
well, what you need to do is you need to put it on a Raspi and go down to your local Starbucks and just plug it in and have it point to an Amazon Cloud instance.
And just see what you get.
Yeah. Yeah, and a packet sniffer. So yeah. So everything that's going across the wireless, it just kind of grabs and starts downloading.
So I saw this linked as primarily a way to pull mega upload and rapid share and shit like that, but it looks like it supports a ton of stuff. So it's just a neat little project, really, and it's all in Python. So if you're writing a project that's dependent on understanding one of these formats, you could just totally steal the source code and do something else with it.
So it does more than just spiders the web page and grabs HTML off of it. It actually grabs media files and everything else or whatever.
Yeah, they were saying it supported a ton of different video sites, and I haven't actually played with it yet.
Hmm.
But it's even got an IRC interface, so you could actually throw it into an IRC channel and have it download shit.
That's cool.
So automatically unRAR files. Yeah, it does a ton of stuff. So.
Yeah, seriously. I think someone needs to connect this to the packet capture. And anytime someone downloads something from a Starbucks or a wherever, that it automatically downloads it, throws it onto an Amazon instance, and then you can just go and look and see what the most horrendously amazing things people are looking at Starbucks.
I don't get it. Why do I keep finding all these pirated copies of 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, it's just like...
God.
So...
Anyways, I support the person who pirated that to be strung the fuck up.
Anyways, it looked like a neat little project, so I thought I would throw it out there.
Yeah.
That's really all I've got for today. Suave isn't here, so we can go ahead and just call it future news. Are you future news?
We will find. Everybody knows who Don Lemon is, right?
Sure.
Yeah. The CNN. Yeah, he is going to leap off a building. Yeah, he's going to leap off a building within the next couple of days.
For anybody who doesn't get that joke, the
dump the Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Never mind. But. Yeah, the comedy dog called him an overnight sensation right before saying he was going to poop on him in the middle of a show. It was hilarious. And the comedian who does the dog was drunk off his ass. Anyways,
as he should be.
Madman, future news.
Well, when India runs out of lepers, they're going to start looking for bears because bears also exist on that continent.
So I'm liking what Madman said way more than the truth. He didn't say lepers.
Yeah.
He said lepers.
Lepers. That's what I thought. I was like, fuck yeah. Gang, beat the shit out of a leper. See how many fucking limbs will fly off. You can even beat him to death with his own arm if you get lucky.
Sard, future news.
I want to see some sort of automatic web page archiving program that, you know, rather than people downloading stuff to their smartwatches and bringing them around everywhere with us, you're going to download it to a pill, and then you can take the internet anywhere with you.
In your ass.
Yeah, in your ass.
Well, you know, when you have to keister the watch to keep the Germans from stealing it.
Yeah.
Get it way up there.
Way up in there.
No gook was going to steal your heritage. It was a gook. Not a Nazi. It was a gook.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misremembered the movie. All right, Zentax, future news.
So in future news, the robot strippers are going to start interfacing with the new Fisker smart auto-driving cars, and that is literally the start of the robot uprising.
Nice.
Oh, and they're going to scratch someone's Bugatti.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're sometimes working on it. Pure Decking is every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit. Apparently, my AFK bot got kicked out of the IRC several times during the week. So if anybody posted any suggestions for the station or anything they wanted to see, I probably didn't see it. Didn't see anything on the subreddit, but that's probably the best place to put some things as well. So yeah, hop in the IRC. We do the show live approximately 9 Central on Thursdays. And you can see the fake RU in there just trolling the fuck out of Psychros. And
thank you, Syntax. You're posting in my name all over the internet.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have a recording of you motherfuckers doing this, so when I go to court.
Well, and I don't think Balt knew that it wasn't you.
God damn it.
But then again, I don't think Sard knew either.
I did not.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Really? Fuck all you bitches. I'm going somewhere else. This place sucks.
All right. All right. That's enough.
Fucking lawn.